And the Lord delights in his people. You know, we don't deserve what he does, but he loves us anyways. Isn't that amazing? That's what grace is. It's not deserved, is it? So we can't compare ourselves to somebody else. And we can't take credit for anything. But in everything, we give God the praise for the things that he does, amen, and the things that he works. And you and I get to partner with him. You know, God wants every one of us to just trust him and to obey his voice and do what he tells us to do. And God is often going to challenge you to step out of your comfort zone and out of the place of predictability and something that you can do within yourself. But he'll meet you there, you know, in the place he told you to be. If he's out on the water, get out of the boat, amen. If he's in the boat, stay in the boat. Don't go out on the water without him, amen. But stay with Jesus wherever he's telling you, whatever he's telling you to do. Just obey him in that. I think we're all here for one main reason, is that because we love the Lord, amen. And, you know, we love each other, too. We are his people and we're a family. We're the people of God. And you know what? There's no family like the family of God. Amen. We're closer, aren't we? Often, sometimes in our biological families. There's a bond in the spirit, isn't there? It goes deeper. So it's just amazing. And isn't it interesting how the spirit unites us? If we open our hearts to him and worship the Lord in spirit, it just brings us together. You know, and it lets the lesser things in the walls just come down. And when the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, then we can have true unity. Amen. We can work together and walk together. Even when we disagree, we can still learn how to walk together, you know, in that. And what we need to know is that, discern that we are brothers and sisters in the Lord, and that's what matters, amen. If you are in Christ, amen, we're not always going to 100% agree with each other, but if we're in Christ, then we're family. So, amen, we honor and we prefer and we respect one another as God's people. And we do what we can to make a difference in the lives of others. If God gives us a word, share that word faithfully. Amen. We just want to be on assignment with the Lord. And, you know, when the Lord tells you to do something, it's never in vain. Even if there's pushback, even if there's disagreement, if the Lord is telling you to do something, do it. Amen. Because it will never be in vain. The word of God will never return void, but it'll accomplish what it set out to do. So let's just be faithful to do what God is telling us to do, and be careful of cowering or bowing down to political correctness of our age, where, you know, the world wants to tell us what we can believe. I mean, I know that nobody has that right over you to tell you what to believe. Amen. We believe and we have the freedom to choose what we believe. Amen. And we're going to believe the truth. Amen. The world is trying to tell us what to believe and try to force that belief upon us. We have to stand up against that bully, you know, that Goliath of political correctness today. And we need to be true to God. You know, if we please men, then we cannot be the servant of Christ. I want to talk about what pleases God today, because we're all searching for that, aren't we? We want to know what pleases the Lord. How can I please the Lord? Amen. It's because God has put that in our hearts. He's even put the desire in us. When we weren't in Christ, we didn't care what pleased God. We only pleased ourselves. But when the Spirit of Christ comes to dwell within us, he begins to transform even our desires. Our desires now are to honor and to please the Father. And when we get out of agreement with what he wants, we sense that as well. Amen. There's a grieving in our spirit. And all of us here have weak moments at times, but God is gracious and merciful and forgiving. And we simply need to come back to him and say, Father, I'm sorry. I blew it. Amen. And we all do at times, but thank God he's got mercy for us at the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So Ephesians 5:10 says, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. God wants us to find out what pleases him. And so, praise God, he gave us this word. How many read the Bible, God's word, amen? You want to know what God accepts, what pleases God? Read the book, amen? He wrote it. One thing for sure is that God is pleased to make you and I his very own people, first of all. God was not willing and is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance and that people would turn to the Lord and be saved. Amen? To call upon his name. And it's God's pleasure, amen, to receive us as his own, to make us his own. In 1 Samuel 12:22, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. It pleased the Lord to make you his people. Now, Israel really didn't have any say in the matter. God says, I've chosen you. I've chosen you to be my people. And sometimes people can get a little arrogant about such things. But how many know that you and I don't have anything that we didn't receive from the Lord? And therefore, if we're going to do any boasting, we need to boast in the Lord. And we need to give him praise. Praise is boasting on God, isn't it? So the Bible tells us very clearly that God wants to make people his own. He wants to redeem mankind and bring them back to him. And so it is his pleasure to do that. And in John 1:12, it says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, and those who believe in his name. So we have to, first of all, do what? We have to repent from sin. We have to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to be born again and become God's children. In 2 Corinthians 6:17, we're given this instruction, therefore come out from among them, and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So what is God saying to us today? The same thing he said. Amen. Come out from among them and be separate. Come out of the world. Come out of the world system. No longer bow down to its dictates. Don't pattern your life after the world's standards, but according to the Word of God. So don't think of God as being some kind of uncaring, distant, uninvolved God, because God so loves us. And he was so much involved, even when we were lost and separated from him, God was actively seeking us. He sought us out. He came to seek and to save, didn't he? That which was lost, so that repentant believers, those who would turn away from themselves and from their ways and turn to the Lord, could receive forgiveness. And what is forgiveness? It means the cancellation of debt. That which we had done in violation of God's laws, God would blot out those transgressions. Amen? Through the precious blood of Christ, we can be forgiven, we can be cleansed, and we can be reinstated as children, brought back into right fellowship. For all have sinned, right, and fallen short of the glory of God. God wants us to be reconciled to him. So it pleased God to bless his people Israel under the old covenant. And it's his pleasure to bless us today. You know, how many here like to bless your children? If you have children, amen, maybe you have nieces and nephews, but you love to bless, don't you? You want your children to be blessed. You want your children to be provided for. You want your children to be protected. You want your children to be taken care of. And so likewise, our Father, our Heavenly Father, desires that for every one of us. All right? Because he loves us, not because we deserve it or because we're good, but because God loves us, he desires good for us. He wants to bless his children. So you need to understand that, because if you don't think that way, then you won't be in position in faith to believe that God will do anything good for you. If you don't believe, you don't receive. Because we know what pleases God is Hebrews 11:6, what? Faith, confidence in what God promises, what he says he will do, that he will do it. So if I am evaluating myself before God and solely leaning upon my own goodness as qualification for anything good from God, then I have wrong focus. I cannot put my confidence in me, but my confidence in God and his goodness towards me, and the fact that he is my Father, and my Father wants to bless me as a son. Not because I'm anything, but because he thought I was something. Because he thinks I have value, because he loves me, because he was the one that took the initiative to send his son Jesus to die on the cross for me. He demonstrated his love for us in the cross. It wasn't because we were doing certain things right that God said, well, because of that, I'll do this. God said, you're lost. There's no way you can save yourself. I'm going to take the initiative and I'm going to become the sacrifice for you. So God the Son, the Word became flesh and became our sacrifice, dying in our place, dying the death that we deserve to die, that we could be forgiven and we can be brought back into fellowship with the Father, reconciled back to God. After King David had charged his son Solomon with the responsibility of building the temple, he praised the Lord of heaven, and he declared this in 1 Chronicles 29:17. He says, I know, my God, that you examine our hearts and rejoice when you find integrity, uprightness there. So, what does God look for in his people? Integrity. God looks for integrity. How does he do it? He does it by examining the heart. God is more concerned about one's integrity than their charisma, their works of service, or even personal sacrifice. Hear me, guys. There are many people that think that they can do deals with God, that they will do good works to cover up their rebellion and their disobedience, that somehow God will look at the scale and say, well, but you're doing more good than bad. Now, how many know that didn't work for King Saul, did it? He was rebellious. He refused to submit to God and obey his word perfectly to do exactly what God told him to do. He thought he would kind of meet him halfway. And it cost him dearly. He lost his kingdom and he lost his life. Because God says, I desire more than sacrifice, I desire obedience. Obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. God is more concerned about our internal condition, the integrity of our hearts, than what we do externally, than what we do in the form of service even. You see, we can get caught up in a works mentality thinking that I'll do these good things and earn credit with God. No, we serve him out of gratitude and out of love for what he's done for us. We offer our bodies back to him as a living sacrifice and say, Lord, how can I love you back? How can I serve you? Amen. But we're not serving him to somehow earn credit with God, because in the areas of our rebellion, God is saying you must repent. Guys, I see this. People think that somehow they're going to bribe God. God's saying, stop it. They say, but God, look what I'm doing over here. Don't pay attention to that over there, but look what I'm doing over here. Are you hearing me, somebody? See, God doesn't accept that. Because God looks upon the heart. And what God is looking for is truthfulness, faithfulness of the heart. He's looking for people who are real, who are authentic. Amen? Who are not posers, who are not fake, who are not hypocritical, but in their hearts, they have sanctified the Lord apart in their hearts, and they are who they say they are outwardly as they are inwardly. Their life, amen, is an expression of what's really going on the inside. They're not Pharisees that are whitewashed tombs that outwardly appear righteous, but inwardly they're full of dead men's bones. God is looking upon the heart, and he's looking for integrity. He's looking for a person who will be a person of their word, a person who will speak the truth in love, and live the truth that they speak. He examines the hearts. Galatians 5:6 says, for when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. You see, if we have authentic faith, there will be an expression of that faith. There will be a manifestation of that faith. That faith, amen, will translate into a life of obedience to Christ. If you say that you have faith and you have no works, your faith is dead. But if you have genuine faith, you will be expressing that faith in the love of God, amen, and God receives that offering. God receives that as worship. See, it's not just an intellectual assent to say, well, I believe that. I believe in God. But if you really have faith in what God said, you believe in the Word of God, you believe Jesus, then it will be expressed in your life. There will be the manifestation of that. And that's genuine faith. Faith that produces good fruit. Faith that makes a difference. Faith that lights up the night. We are lights, aren't we? God honors faith. Faith has evidence. Faith has substance. Did you know that? Of course you did. All true ministry, guys, flows from our Heavenly Father's heart. I don't just get up one morning and say, I think I'm going to do this. I think I'm going to do that. I say, Lord, what are we doing? What are we doing today? What can I do with you today? What are you doing? I want to discover what you're doing. I'm going to join you there. Because wherever you are, there is life. Whatever you are saying produces life. Are you hearing it? Not just, I'm going to go out and do a bunch of good things. I'm going to be a do-gooder. How many know there are people that are lost and going to hell that do good? But the Bible declares that there are none good, not one, except in Christ we become good by His goodness. We become righteous because He is righteous in us. He becomes righteousness for us. And therefore we become the righteousness of God in Christ. So now we can bear fruit unto eternal life as we partner with God. So when we do works, we need to be doing works in agreement with what the Spirit is telling us to do and not just good ideas and sometimes even as a form of trying to appease God. Are you hearing me, somebody? Sometimes people try to appease God. You don't have to appease God. He's not like the pagan gods where they have to bring an appeasement, an offering or some kind of thing, amen, to make them happy so that they'll do something good for you in return. Do you understand that in pagan worship, it's always self-centered. It's always about what I can get out of it. I'll do this if you do that. But out of gratitude for God and all He's done in our lives, we willingly give our lives back to Him and say, God, here am I. I'll be a vessel for You. What can I do for You? And it's the love of God shed abroad in our lives. It's the motivation that God puts within us by His Spirit. Amen. As we are conforming into His image, we become more like Him and we begin to do the works that Jesus did. God's more concerned about integrity of heart than one's charisma. Guys, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we? We're just vessels of clay. But God allows us to partner with Him, to be a part. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and what? Not of us. So if God is going to do a miracle, if God's going to work, if God's going to heal, amen, we got to give Him the credit, give Him the praise, amen. Say, thank You, Lord, for what You're doing and that You just allowed me to partner with You in this. How many know that God looks for somebody, a man or a woman, that will say, Lord, here am I, use me, send me. You know, I'll be available for You. And God will do amazing things if we just are yielding ourselves to Him and willing to do it His way. Get over ourselves. You know what the word integrity means in Wikipedia? Is the practice of being honest and showing a consistent and uncompromising adherence to strong moral and ethical principles and values. In ethics, integrity is regarded as the honesty and truthfulness or accuracy of one's actions. In ethics, integrity is regarded as the honesty and truthfulness or accuracy of one's actions. You know, we can tell people we are Christians, but the world is watching and they need to see the authenticity of Christ, amen, in us. And when we are out there and out and about, we are not presenting ourselves, but presenting Christ to people, amen. Because you know what? We can act Christian and not be Christian. We can behave a certain way because it's an expectation, but it doesn't mean it's authentic. We can act a certain way when we're on the job because that's what the boss expects. But as soon as you clock out, you may be totally different. What did you do? Well, you put on your work face and your work behavior. Amen? Well, when it comes to the Lord, He examines the heart. He knows who we really are. And He knows that what we say, amen, needs to agree with what we really believe in our hearts. Oh, yeah, I'll be there. No call, no show. I'll pay you back. Never hear from them again. You can count on me. Where were you? You understand, God is not like that, is He? And so we want to be godly people representing Him. And He wants us to agree, amen, with His counsel, His instruction that He gave us in the Word. God's Word tells us how we can please God. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to rely upon the power of God to live the life that we're called to live. It's impossible in our own strength to live the Christian life. And God will allow us to fail over and over again until we get it. Isn't that true? Anybody beside myself fail? Okay. But we can learn from our failures. They don't have to be the end. Amen. They can simply be a stepping stone to succeed. The next time, I'll be wiser. Next time, I'll learn not to do that. God tests our hearts. It's not the outward actions of what we say that is the primary test of integrity. It's not just what we say and what we do outwardly, but God sees the heart, and that's what we'll be judged by. Jesus said in Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. Well, in context of that, he's talking about the tree, amen? A tree bears a certain kind of fruit. A tree is known by its what? Its fruit. So he said a good man is going to bear that kind of fruit out of the good treasure because it's that type of tree. It's the planting of the Lord. And when we are grounded and planted in the Word and the truth, amen, then we'll bear the fruit of God's Word. How many of you realize that the more that you learn and the more you get to get the Word into you and into your spirit, the more you become changed by it? Your thinking begins to change. Your actions begin to change. Your language begins to clean up. I can remember when I was a new Christian, I still had a bad mouth. Out of one side, I was talking about Jesus. The other mouth, the other side, I was cussing, you know. God started to work in me in that area. Through the washing of the water of the Word, amen, and the Spirit working in my heart. And God has been doing a phenomenal work in my life, and I trust in yours as well. But don't give up, amen. When you make a mistake, get back up, get back in. Apologize to the Lord. He forgives, amen. He's rooting for you. You know, God's not against you. He's for you. You know, the Apostle Paul said this in Acts 24:16, I always try to maintain a clear conscience before God and what? All people. That's integrity. This is where we can please the Lord. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song. Now, some people say, well, I'm just not a singer. It doesn't matter. Praise the Lord anyways. Make a joyful noise. Amen? Don't worry about what Joe thinks. Sing unto the Lord. Make melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen? Sing to one another, it says. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing to one another. Amen? It's okay. If it's that bad, I'll just get some earplugs. No, I'm just... Some days you're probably saying, man, where are my earplugs? But I'll praise the Lord with a song and magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord. Listen, better than ox or bull which has horns and hooves. It says God is more pleased with a heart that loves Him, amen, that praises Him and gives thanks to Him than sacrifices that we may do for God. God's more concerned about our personal integrity, our personal walk, Amen? That we live right before the world as we represent Him. Amen? Then what we do for Him, because if we're doing good works for God, but we're not living right in our personal walk, then it's null and void, isn't it? People see that and they say, oh, here's another one. I don't want to be that another one. Amen? I think if we're honest, we've all been the hypocrite at least once. Okay? We've done that. We've posed. Amen? Because there was an expectation. But we want to become Christ-like. Amen? We don't want to act like Jesus. We want to become more and more like Him. And how many know that the more time you spend with somebody, the more you begin to become like them? Yes. Amen? Those of you who have been married, are married, the more you spend time together, the more you kind of become like each other. You know it. Sometimes the response will be before you said the word. And hopefully we learn not to push certain buttons, right? We know it pleases one another. We're learning how to please one another in our relationships without compromising the truth, that is. God's pleased with heartfelt songs of worship to Him. You know, man may look at the outward appearance, but guys, we got to get over that. We really need to get over what people think to be servants of the Lord. Yeah. I struggle sometimes with that myself, wanting to please people, but I got to be careful that I don't step over the line, amen, and start compromising what is true, what's really going on in my heart, and failing to speak truth into a situation when God's telling me to. Proverbs 15 and verse 8, the Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but He delights in the prayers of the upright. God is pleased when we pray to Him. Prayer pleases Him. At home, church. How many know that the early church went to the temple for the hour of prayer? Acts 3:1, that's the word of God. Psalm 66:18, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. You know, this may be a clue sometimes as to why some prayer isn't answered. I didn't say all prayer. But sometimes, because we're not dealing with something that God is telling us to deal with, it can hinder your prayers. How many know if you have a falling out with your spouse, amen, it can hinder your prayers till there's a reconciliation, amen? And then that's why we need to be very careful and we walk carefully among each other. We don't want to cause offense and we don't want to put a stumbling block, right, before somebody. By the way we live, the things we do and the things we say or how we say it even. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who covers his sins will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will. Amen. See, some people are good about, well, I'll go to confession on Saturday night or whatever. Amen. But they haven't forsaken their sins. They're just going and confessing it. And then they're going back out and doing it again. That's not repentance. God calls us to repent of our sin. That means to turn away from it and turn to Him. Amen. Start following in His ways. So when we confess, we're also what? Renouncing them. If we forsake them, we'll have mercy. 1 John 1:9 says, if we what? Confess our sins. This is continually, it says, we keep on confessing. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It seems in our modern society, salvation is simply a get-out-of-jail-free card for some, without the necessity of repentance and a changed life. The Lord commands all men everywhere, amen, to repent. People need to change. It's not okay to do those things that you know displease the Lord. If God says no, it means no. If you confess Him as Lord, then let Him be Lord of your life. If He says no, it means no. Because He's Lord, He's master of my life. He will tell me what's acceptable and what's not acceptable in my life. I have freedom as a Christian. I can allow certain liberties in my life, but I'm not going to allow a liberty in my life if in any way it can cause my brothers and sisters to stumble. Amen? I have to be very careful how I live my life. Like Paul said, I'll eat no meat and I'll drink no wine if it's going to cause somebody to stumble. Amen? How many know? I don't think it's wise in America for us to drink. Somebody say amen. When so many people are captured by that, they're addicted to drink. Amen? And even though you may say, well, I can have a little wine, I can have a little beer, it's like, well, you're going to the store, and here's Joe. Joe's been on the wagon, amen, for a while now. And here you are going to buy the booze, and they run, and you run into Joe. Hey, how's it going? Oh, what are you drinking? Do you understand how what we may think is a liberty between us and faith before the Lord can be a stumbling block to somebody else? And so if we're walking in love, we're going to be considerate of others, and we're not going to put ourselves before other people. Well, it's my freedom. It's my liberty. Do you get it? I mean, it's that kind of attitude, which is an unloving attitude. It's inconsiderate to somebody else. And this is my commandment, that you love one another. Consider one another. Do my actions promote harmony and peace? And do my actions help somebody get free from bondage? Or am I actually strengthening the hands of evildoers by doing the same thing they're doing? We want to see people get free. So we got to get free. We need to cast off these things. Anything that would be send the wrong message. You've heard it said, your actions speak louder than your words. I want to teach what I live, amen, and live what I teach. I want to please the Lord. God is pleased when we trust Him. We trust Him. Guys, we can't save ourselves. We have to trust in the Lord. We have to lean on Him for our daily bread and for grace in this life to walk in a way that honors Him. And that will also be effective witness towards others. As they see our life, how come you don't do the things that others do? How come you don't swing to that and you don't dance to that flute? And how come you don't cuss like other people cuss? And how come you're not laughing at the dirty joke? Because I fear the Lord. And because I know that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of in the day of judgment. Amen. And so I'm making sure I'm getting my sins beforehand to God. Amen. Laying it on the altar and say, God, I repent and I renounce these things. I forsake these things. I will not bow down to the pressures of men. I will not fear men, but I will fear the Lord and depart from evil. Amen. I will trust the Lord for His grace to give me the strength to stand in the evil day when I'm being pressured, when I'm being tempted to compromise what I know in my heart is right. Amen. I got to call on God and say, God, give me the grace, give me the help, give me the strength. I need to not bow down to this. Even if it means I get excommunicated from their company, so be it. Come out from among them, says the Lord, and be separate, and I will receive you. You will be my sons and my daughters. Amen. He says, I'll be a father to you. Now, what does the grace of God do? What does it teach us? Titus 2:11. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us, and this is the Lord speaking, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Why? Because we're looking forward to the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. This is New Testament theology. The Apostle Peter warned even the people on the day of Pentecost. He said, be saved from this perverse generation, Acts 2:40. The Amplified says it this way, be saved from this crooked, perverse, wicked, unjust generation. Paul instructed his son Timothy in the Lord in 2 Timothy 2:4. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. We need to come out of the world, guys. We need to quit like men, amen? And we need to start obeying the Spirit of the Lord, because we are ambassadors of heaven representing his interests in the world. We are to be a holy people as we walk in him who is holy. He will give us the ability to live clean. He is the one that is our victory. Amen. He's the one, the strength of our life. Hallelujah. I don't trust in me. I trust in Jesus every day. I come to him for bread. I come to him for strength. I come to him for grace. And I say, Lord, I need your help today. I need your strength today, Lord. So I will not compromise. I will not bow down to Baal. How many know the spirit of Baal is prevalent in the land today? And so many, even Christians, are compromising and bowing down to Baal. The churches are compromising. These large mega churches are compromising, bowing down to Baal today. They become so worldly, there's hardly any difference between the world and some of these people that claim to be Christians today. God is pleased when we do not love this world or follow its ways. Let me give you some examples, guys. You ready for this? How about the way we dress? Now, don't come to church next week with a collar and your hair in a bun. But how about dressing modestly? So, in other words, I'm going to dress in a way, you should dress in a way where you're not going to cause somebody else to stumble. All right? Pretty clear, isn't it? Because if we love others, we don't want to set them up for a fall. Amen. We don't want to put them in a situation where they're going to allow their lust to get them in trouble in their heart. So we cover up. Okay? Modest dress. How about the way the world talks? Talked about vulgar joking. Do we have to swing like the world? We have to talk the language of the world? Do we have to conform to the world to win the world? No, we need to conform to Christ to win the world to Christ. How about the world's ways of materialism and greed? He who has the most toys wins. Keeping up with the Joneses. People are spending themselves, you know, just trying to get more stuff. And we were talking about it, I think it was Wednesday night, about how greed is that way. When you start to become greedy, it's like you get the thing you wanted, and then after that it's not enough. You're always looking for the bigger and the better and the next thing. And when you get that, it still doesn't satisfy you. Greed is never satisfied, guys. Why? Because only the Lord is truly going to satisfy the deepest longings of your heart. He's the one that is going to bring you into contentment. Even if you have little, thank God for little. Thank God I got out of bed. Thank God I had something to wear. I had something to eat today. Thank God I have a church family I can hang out with. Amen? The world's sexual depravity. The loose morals. You know, you stand up here and shout and praise and swing from chandeliers and lift your hands. And how's your moral life? What do you do behind closed doors? I'm talking about, you know, people that are in fornication and adultery, that they've learned how to play church and play Christian. They're hypocrites, and God sees the heart. He's looking for integrity. He's looking for somebody on the outside who they are on the inside. Amen? And in my heart, I sanctify the Lord and say, that thought is not acceptable. I take it captive. And I tell Satan, I reject you. I'm not bowing down to that. I'm not entertaining that thought. And if you got to get out of that situation, get out of it. Walk away from it. But guys, we got to be very careful, because there seems to be this mentality today. I see it too often, where people are living in immorality. They're having sex outside of marriage. And I don't care. Some people think, well, I can just justify it by doing some good things instead. I'm just going to bribe God a little bit. I'll do some good works. And then God will just kind of look the other way. How many know God sees the heart? He looks for integrity. He looks for people that are honest, that have a true heart, that are going to behave themselves. Why? Because we're representing him and his honor. We don't want to bring reproach upon the Lord as his people. How about the world's ways of entertainment? Here's another one. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. How about the world's entertainment? You know, they've had confessions from some of these, I guess you could call them elite entertainers, who have literally confessed to being demon-possessed. And so people, even Christians, just follow them religiously. They watch them. And then some of them, they don't have a clue, but this person is actually watching a manifestation of a demon inside this person as they swing and then they show their bodies off like they do to seduce the minds of the people that watch them and find entertainment in something that is depraving. Yeah. You understand, we have to be very careful that we don't walk according to the rule of this world, but according to the law of the Spirit in Christ. And we do those things that honor the Lord, that please the Lord. Even if it means I'm not going to be popular with people. How many know Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you too. If you're living for Christ, yea, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's all right, amen, because the Lord says, rejoice in that day, amen, because leap for joy, for great is your reward in heaven. If somebody doesn't like you because you're a Christian, praise God for that. Thank you. James 4:4. This is James talking to the church, guys. He says, you adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. What does God place this here for? God says, I've called you to be light. Lights in the darkness. And so we partner with the Lord in this world, so that we won't be entangled by it. If you don't stay close to the Lord, how many know you could easily be seduced by all the stuff that's going on around us? Amen? I've watched people that were doing so good. They were on fire for God. They were worshiping God. They were in their Bible together. Amen? They were in church every time the doors were open. They were doing so good. And I've watched them slip into the darkness. And some of them completely become overcome, to the point where they're now living in a life that's completely as an enemy of the cross. There are warnings in the New Testament, guys, that warn us about this. But it pleases God when we trust Him. You know, as a partner with the Lord, we can't be entangled in the world because we're soldiers. A soldier has to have discipline. A soldier has to know that they're under the orders of their commander in chief. Amen. So therefore, I can't allow myself to indulge in certain things, even though they may be a liberty, because I need to be disciplined and I need to be in a position where God can call and count on me when He speaks my name and says, I want you to go. I want you to do. I'm ready. Amen. Because I'm disciplined. I'm at attention. Amen. And I'm waiting for the command of my Lord. Are you hearing me, somebody? We're soldiers, and the soldier has to have a disciplined life in order to please the one that has enlisted him. So we can't be entangled with the things of this temporary life, knowing that, like we said earlier, our life is but a vapor. I think it was Wayne in the Sunday school. You know how quickly it's like, man, another 10 years has gone by, and we're looking back and saying, man, where has the time gone? We don't have a lot of time. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we should be redeeming the time. The days are evil. You know, the night comes when no man shall work. Let us walk in the light while we have the light. Right now we have Christ, amen? And He is in the world through His Spirit and in His church. There's coming a day when the Lord's going to come and He's going to extract His people, amen? Until then, we have business to do. Amen. We have to be busy about our Father's business and not getting entangled in the temporal things of this life that are going to choke us. Amen. And bring us to a place where we're not bearing any fruit unto eternal life. God will give you the grace you need, the strength you need if you would call on Him. God's placed us here to be lights. You know, they asked Jesus in John 6:28, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? What shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Oh, okay. Now we need to ask the question, what does it mean to believe in him? Faith expressing itself in love. When we really believe, then we will bear fruit. When we really believe, we will be an expression of God in this world. If we really believe, then we will have good works. Come on, somebody. It will be expressing itself in love. If we really believe, Jesus said, John 14:12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works, somebody say the works, that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. Jesus was saying, listen, I'm going back to heaven. He was going to be risen on the third day. He was going to ascend back to the right hand of the Father, and he was going to send the promised Holy Spirit, amen, upon his church. So that we would, what, continue to do the works that he began to do. So there would be many more of us doing the work that Jesus did. Amen. So greater works than these. I don't know how much greater you can get raising someone from the dead. He's talking about the fact that there will be many sons and daughters that will be anointed with the Holy Spirit, that will engage in the works of God. Amen. By faith in God. Because faith has evidence. Faith has substance. Faith produces good fruit in our lives. Come on, somebody. If you're believing God, your life will express him. Some people think, oh, I believe in God. Yeah, well, so did the demons, right? And they tremble. But faith in Jesus brings us salvation. Faith in Jesus brings us healing, deliverance, the ability to live a holy life. Faith in Jesus gives us power and authority for ministry. And so much more. So what pleases the Lord? You ready for this? It pleases God to bring us, first of all, into this family. It pleases him to bless us. It pleases him to give us the kingdom. Jesus said it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. God is pleased with a heart of integrity in his people. It pleases God when we sing songs of praise to him and thanksgiving. It pleases the Lord, amen, when we pray. And we commune with him, and we talk with him, and we petition him. And he's pleased when we turn from our wicked ways to follow him. It pleases God when we adjust our conduct so as not to cause others to stumble or fall. And it pleases God when we keep ourselves from being entangled in this sin-sick world. Be saved from this perverse generation. Come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord, and I will receive you. God calls all men everywhere to repent. Come out of the world and come into Christ. And when you're in Christ, walk according to the law of the Spirit. Walk according to the Spirit, amen? And you will not gratify the deeds of your flesh. Amen? If you abide in him, he abides in you. You will have the ability, the strength, the power, amen, to overcome and live a life that honors God, that pleases the Lord, amen? And it will bring peace to your heart as well. Thank you, Jesus, for that. God is good. He wants good for us. But he wants us to trust him. If he says good, it's good. If he says bad, it's what? It's bad. Don't be wise in your own understanding. Don't say, well, I'll twist it a little bit and make it fit my lifestyle. No, you need to repent and get in agreement with what God says. You're to conform to the Word. You can't twist his Word to conform to you. So God is greatly pleased when we believe him. He's greatly pleased with our faith. Faith is, I believe God, your Word is true. I believe every word you say. I believe you mean what you say. I believe that I'm responsible for what I do in this body. And what I do in this body does count in eternity. What I allow or disallow in this body is very, very important. Come on, somebody. God has given us self-control. He's given us the ability, amen, to live a life that will honor Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He'll direct your path. Call on Him. Ask Him to fill you with the power of His Holy Spirit. Amen. So you can do it through Christ and the strength He supplies you. You and I cannot do it. We cannot live a life free from compromise if we're not walking in the Holy Spirit. If we're not relying upon the power of the Holy Spirit. God has given us His Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can somebody say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.